chapter number 107. Chapter 107, please. We're going to be looking at the verses that we looked at this morning. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1. You've been seated a while. We'd ask you to stand with us, reverence to the Scripture, and we'll read the first three verses. The Bible says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever." I want to mention this just in reading. I just seen it. It's reading. I want to mention it. Verse number 1 is showing us somebody's being talked to. Somebody is being addressed here to give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Somebody's being addressed, and guess who it is? Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If there's anybody that should be a thankful people and a praising people unto the Lord, it should be those that have been redeemed. Because if anybody's ever experienced His goodness and His mercy, it is those that are redeemed. Amen. Verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank You for the reading of Your precious Word. I ask God that You would illuminate our minds together. Help us, dear Lord, to have the Spirit of God speaking to us and teaching us and leading us, Father, in a way that only You can. Father, I pray You'll direct my thoughts. Help me to preach. We again, Lord, need that special anointing and power that makes preaching effective. Thank You, Lord, for what You did this morning. Lord, we are grateful to You for that. We did not deserve that. Lord, never will we deserve, Lord, Your blessings. But we thank You that because of the blood of the Lamb, we've been made righteous. We've been made accepted in the Beloved. And I thank You that heaven, Lord, is my home tonight. And everyone here that's saved, Lord, we're heaven bound. And I thank You for that. Have Your way now, and we'll praise You, save sinners. Lord, I'm looking for You to save somebody in the service tonight. Lord, I trust that You'll do that. I know it's Your will. No doubt about it. It's Your will tonight. Lord, if any of the children of God here tonight that's not right with You, may they take this opportunity right now to repent. May they take this opportunity right now to confess and get right with God as they pray there in their pews. Dear Lord, because we don't want the Spirit of God quenched or grieved in the service. Lord, I appreciate You saving Miss Amy this morning. Thank God for answering prayer. Hallelujah. Bless Your name. Oh, glory to God. Lord, there's others yet in the service tonight that are in need of Jesus in their life. And I pray that You will get personal with them, Lord, and get on their pew, Lord, and let them know, God, You're talking to them, You're dealing with them, and speaking to them, and drawing them to Yourself. And I'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I'm dealing with a subject, just simple subject this morning and tonight on verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we pointed out there are three things in verse number 2 that we would try to emphasize in the message tonight. First, there is the experience that is talked about in verse number 2. The experience. Unless you've had the experience, you'll never say so. Because you don't have nothing to say. And so the experience is essential. If you're going to be a part of that group, a part of that number called the redeemed that are saying so in this hour. And then not only do we see the experience, and we'll point out some more about that in a little bit, but also in verse number 2, there is an expression, say so. That's an expression. And then also in verse number 2, there is an escape. All three of these are associated with you being redeemed and your responsibility of saying so in this world in which we live. As I pointed out this morning, and I'll mention later on, there is no such thing in the Bible as a silent Christianity. It is not found in the pages of God's Word. And we'll say more about that in a little bit. But in verse number 2, I want to point out again this evening, the Bible talks about this experience. The redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, to be redeemed, that is an experience. That is a salvation. That is salvation. If you're not redeemed, then you have not been regenerated and you've not been reborn. You're not saved. Amen. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There is an experience involved. And I studied on this again this afternoon. I was studying on this again this afternoon and looking at it, and I was just blessed again as I thought about the Lord used the word redeemed, one word, to both describe who we are and what has happened to us. The word redeemed identifies our salvation, but it is also our identification. God used one word to describe who you are and what has happened to you. I like that. And I said this morning, we should be known, that is, people ought to know who we are by our experience. That is, that we've been saved, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I would just like to share first about that experience. Number one, it is a past experience. Notice, if you will, the ED that is placed on redeemed. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now that word, that tense there, and I like what Brother Jones said about Dr. James Jones said about the King James Bible, that's different than the other Bibles, the other versions, the other perversions. Amen. I've said something about that this morning. Instead of us not having a Bible, the devil's attempt now is to distort and to add to and dilute and water down the Bible so that we don't have a Bible. So if you got the King James Bible, thank God you have the Word of God for English-speaking people. Amen. You'd shout about that. You've got God's Word. We're confident of that. And there's several reasons why. But anyway, the Bible, he went on to say the other night that one thing that God used the King James translators to do was to protect the tenses. The verb tenses, like ETH, which would show an ongoing process or an ongoing action. Like, for instance, in 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is, cleanse and keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Well, here the word redeemed ends with an ED. And that shows something that has already happened. Amen. Now think about this little simple statement. If your redemption is not in the past, if you're not saved now, if your salvation is not in the past, then you're not saved now. This ED puts our redemption and our salvation in the past. It's already a transaction that has been took place. If your salvation is not in the past, then you are not saved now. Now that's simple, but there's a lot of people today claim to have a salvation life, but they don't have a salvation day. They don't have a birthday. Amen. Your salvation ought to be behind you. Amen. There ought to be a place, there ought to be a time in your life when you got saved. And if you got saved then, really and truly got saved then, you're saved now. You know, there's a lot of people talking about once saved and always saved. And I've been asked, preacher, do you believe that? I say, well, I believe it if you've been once saved. I don't believe it if you've not been once saved. Amen. Amen. You can't be continually saved and forever saved if you never got saved. Amen. But a person that's really been born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, changed. Amen. That person is forever a child of God. Amen. That's not a license to sin. That's a license to love God. That's liberty to love Jesus and live for God. Amen. But there's an experience, and it's a past experience. I'm glad I can tell you tonight that I have been saved for 27 years. I know I'm saved tonight because I have been saved. I know I am saved because I have been saved. I know I shall be saved because I am saved because I have been saved. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. I was saved, am saved, and shall be saved. But where is your salvation? Some of you sitting here tonight, you've not been saved yet. Your salvation, hopefully, is yet future. It's up to you whether it is or not. It's up to you whether it is or not. I promise you that. Amen. The door is still open. We don't know how long it's going to be open, but it is open. But this experience of being redeemed, God is saying, is in the past tense. Amen. Those that are planning on getting saved ain't going to say so. It's those that have been redeemed already that are to say so. So it's a past experience. Amen. I like that word "have." Do you see that in verse number 2? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. It's already happened. I can shout right now about heaven. You say, but preacher, what, you don't know about tomorrow. Don't have to know about tomorrow. You say, you don't know what's going to be on the future. No, I don't have to know. I know what happened in the past. I know what God did 27 years ago. I can shout about heaven now. It's a done deal. The transaction's over. I like this. I like this. Someone said, as far as God the Father was concerned, I was saved in eternity past. As far as Jesus was concerned, I saved when He died on the cross, was buried and rose again. As far as the Holy Spirit was concerned, I was saved when He entered in at the on the date and time that I repented and believed the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. So it's all settled. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. We all know I'm saved. Amen. That's right. Father planned it. Jesus purchased it. Holy Spirit, my friend, produced it. And I'm praising God about it. Amen. All I did, Brother Silas, was provide the sinner. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't save myself. All I did was provide God with nothing to do something with. Amen. As long as you're somebody, God will walk by you. But if you're a nobody, God will stop and say, "Can I help you?" Amen. God say, God specializes in nobodies because He can turn you into a somebody. Amen. So you can tell everybody about the somebody that made you somebody. But it's an experience. It's a past experience. Secondly, it's a purchased experience. Purchased experience. The Bible said we've been redeemed. We had to be bought. We had to be purchased. There was a price tag on you. When you become a sinner, you become guilty before God. The wages of sin is death. God even told Adam and Eve in the garden, when you eat of that tree and you go against God's commandment there, He said, you're going to sin. You're going to die. If you sin, you're going to die. Sin and death goes together in the Word of God. You had a price tag on you. You say, "Well, preacher, I can't. I'll pay for it with works." Works won't do it. Works is not blood. You say, "Well, I'll pay for it with religious deeds." That's still not blood. God requires blood. Amen. We had to be purchased. The Bible says in Hebrews, what is it? Hebrews 9. Is it 9:12? Let me see right here. I got that verse down. Hebrews 9:22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin." There had to be blood shed. You say, "Well, I'll shed my own blood." Still won't work because that's polluted blood. Defiled blood. God only would accept a sinless, spotless sacrifice. You never could produce that. You never could come up with that. So God provided Himself to be that sacrifice. Jesus came down here to be what we could not be, and that was perfect. Nobody goes to heaven that's not been redeemed. Nobody goes to heaven that's not perfect. You say, "Preacher, if we got to be perfect to go to heaven, none of us are going to make it." That's exactly right. There is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody has hopes. No hope whatsoever of living a perfect life. If you've ever thought one bad thought, you're a sinner the rest of your days. If you've ever told a lie, amen, got mad, said a wrong word,
any of those things. Guess what? You're a sinner. But I just done that one thing, preacher. That's all I've ever done. I've lived perfect ever since. But that one's enough to send you to hell. Bring me my water. Amen. One sin. And listen, requires a blood, requires payment. Blood payment. Amen. God rejected Cain's offering in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis because it was manus blood. It was the fruit of his hands, the works of the ground. And he offered that up and God rejected it. But Abel offered up the firstling of his flock, the innocent, dying for the guilty. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice because it involved blood. Thank God. It is a purchased experience. Amen. And then I want to say it is also a perfect experience. Perfect experience. The word where the Bible says, whom he hath redeemed, that is in the perfect tense, meaning it expresses a completed action. Amen. I am redeemed, and that's a completed action. Amen. I like that. That right there is enough to shout about. Amen. It's a personal experience. Amen? God saves everybody personally. Have you ever personally done business with God? Now, I know that seems to be elementary right here in this church. But you'd be surprised how many people think just because they've got a godly heritage in their family, or they've got a godly mom or daddy, or they've been raised in church, they think, man, that's it. Have you ever personally done business with God?
Amen?
Amen? Just like Miss Amy did this morning. Personally. Did business with God. Have you ever personally received the experience of salvation? Amen. It's a personal thing. Let me move on. I don't want to deal with that one all night. But I notice secondly, not only in verse number 2, is there's an experience involved in people saying so. If you're saved, you ought to say so tonight. There's been a high price paid so that you could say so. God is, listen, if I were to ask tonight, how many saved in here, and you can raise your hand. How many saved in here tonight? Do you realize what it costs God for you to raise your hand? Do you realize what a price Jesus paid so you could raise your hand? I'm telling you, friend, that right there cost God everything. Cost God heaven's best for you to just be able to say, I am saved.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Not only is there an experience involved, there's an expression involved. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you saying so?
Amen.
Have you said so?
Yes.
When's the last time you said so? When's the last time you wanted to say so? When you get crossways with God, you'll say so. Don't want to say so no more. You don't want to talk about Him if you're not close to Him. You don't want to talk about Him if you're not right with Him. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I like that. There's an expression involved. And by the way, let me just make this simple little point right here. I believe it's worth mentioning. And that is the expression comes out of the experience. Let the redeemed of the Lord, there's your experience, say so. The expression comes out of the experience. If you've never experienced grace, never experienced salvation, then you're probably not going to say so. And I'm telling you, there's not too many of God's people, there's not too many professing God's people that are saying so. There's people in churches today that haven't testified ever in their whole life. Amen? Ever. Not testified. Amen? Never told anybody about you being saved. Never witnessed anybody. Something wrong with that. No silent Christianity, no silent spirituality talked about in the Bible. Amen? That's right. This is what the Bible says. I like this right here. You are to say what is so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is to be so if you're going to say so. If something is so, it is a fact. If something is so, it's a real happening. Let me give you a verse to prove that. John chapter 14 in verse number 2, Jesus said these words. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So, if something is so, that means it's a happening. It's a fact. You can count on it. Amen? Is your salvation a fact? Is your salvation a real fact in your life? Is it a happening in your life? Amen? The expression comes out of the experience. No experience, no expression. No salvation, no say-so. Amen? Say-so is in the imperfect tense. You remember a while ago I said it redeemed is the perfect tense, meaning a completed action. The word say-so is the imperfect tense, meaning it's a repetitive, it is a process or condition that is incomplete. In other words, if you live the rest of your life saying so, you will have never come to the place where you can quit saying so. My redemption is perfect. It is in the perfect tense, a completed action. But me saying so, me testifying, me shouting about it, me praising about it, me preaching about it, me witnessing about it, that's in the imperfect tense and identifies an incomplete action. I like that myself, amen? Now listen to this. Jesus is saying so for me. Jesus is my high priest. Jesus is saying so on my behalf. He's saying so not only about me, He's saying so for me, and you know what? A lot of times He says so to me. God speaks to me. He speaks to me from His Word. He speaks to me through His Spirit. Amen? Be good down in your life to learn when it is that God speaking to you. Are you listening? Me and Brother David was talking about today. I'm not going to get in details of it because it'd take too long to tell it. But Brother David was sharing with me about something that I did at the funeral home on the other night. And I just felt impressed to speak to somebody. Didn't know the person. Didn't know a person. I said something about it this morning. And just sat down there and I said, look, you don't know me. I don't know you. You know, and I felt led of God to say something to her. Felt led impressed to talk to this lady there for a minute on the second pew. And then the Lord impressed me to pray for her. Not out loud, not no big show, but just right there, just in our own little privacy right there in that pew to pray with this lady. Well, come to find out, there was fixing to be a mess. That Brother David was telling me about. Another lady was fixing to, it was going to be a scene. And when that person went to talk to that person and it wasn't going to be good, then they saw me praying with this lady and then they turned around and started minding their own business. Said, well, praise God, maybe everything's all right or whatever. But what if I'd have waited 5 minutes? There would have been a scene. What if I'd have waited probably 3 minutes or so? There would have been a scene in that funeral hall. I didn't know that and didn't know it even till today. And Lord knows I wasn't doing none of that for show. I was doing that because God impressed my heart to do it. God says so to me. God says so to me. Has God ever said anything to you? God will speak to you if you'll listen. This book will come alive to you if you'll listen. We're in desperate need of God's people being sheep like He says we are in John 10 that hears His voice and follows Him. Amen. But anyway, it's in the listen, He's saying so, Jesus is in my behalf. Least I can do is say so for Him. There was a time Jesus said, I'll go. Right. Left the portals of glory. Jesus said, I'll go. Jesus came here. Jesus said, I'll die. Jesus said, I'll pay the price. Jesus said, I'll be slain. I'll be mocked. I'll be criticized. I'll be spit on in their behalf. I'll do that for them. I say I'll do that for them. Least we can do is say so for Him. The only reason a person's not saying so is one, they don't have nothing to say, or two, they're ashamed. They're ashamed and embarrassed and got too much pride. Amen. But God wants you to say so. The Bible says right there, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. He wants you to be saying it. He wants you to be vocal about it. Amen. God wants you to say so, not only verbally, but also visually. Action speaks louder than words. Brother Brooks mentioned that this morning. Action speaks louder than words. What are you saying with your actions? What are you saying visually, as well as what are you saying verbally? A lot of people won't listen much to what you say verbally if what you're saying visually is contradictory. What are you saying with your life? as well as with your lips. What kind of a say-so is coming out of your life as well as your lips? Amen? What is coming out of your actions as well as your announcements? God wants you to be saying so. And He says so here in verse number 2. Amen? Some are silent and have nothing to say. And they blame a lot of things on that. I wrote this down. That a lot of times they blame being backwards the reason they're not saying so. I don't know if they're backwards or they're backslid is the reason they're not saying so. Amen? I'd like to say it this way, probably be more clear. Instead of you being backwards, you're probably going backwards. It's the reason you're not saying so. If there's ever a people that's got something to say, it's those that's been redeemed. Amen. It's time, friend, that God's people speaks up about what God has done to you, what God means to you. He's redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, and you're going to heaven. Oh, that needs to be said so. That needs to be said. If God says for you to say so, that means there's somebody wanting to hear it. There's somebody needing to hear it. Say so. Amen. So don't blame being backwards and shy over the reason you don't never tell it. If somebody were to give you $1 million, I'd say you'd lose that backwardness and that shyness and that introvertness. I'd say all of a sudden you'd become the mouth of the South. But somebody give you $1 million. You say, well, yeah, of course, preacher, look what they give me. $1 million ain't nothing compared to salvation. $1 million wouldn't even touch salvation. In fact, all the money in the world wouldn't even touch salvation. We had to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, thank God. Are you listening? We've got something to talk about. Amen? Yeah. I like it. Notice the word about this word expression here. Notice the word let. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That word let not only suggests responsibility. God's not going to force you to tell it. God's not going to force you to say so. What would happen if just this congregation right here got in a say-so revival? Everywhere we went was saying so. How we lived was saying so. No telling how many people we could see saved in a very short period of time if this church right here got in a say-so revival spirit. Amen. But the word let suggests responsibility. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the word let also means to give permission to. Let it happen means to permit it. God's already given you permission to say so. You need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You need to give permission, amen, to the redeemed to say so. Permission to yourself to say so. Now like this right here, you being redeemed is already known in heaven. Amen. You being saved made news in heaven. Now this morning, Miss Amy walked down the aisle and got gloriously saved. By her own profession, got saved. According to what God's Word said, got saved. But you know what? That didn't make news in the Rogersville Review. Won't be wrote about in the paper. Won't be on the news. Won't be on CNN, ABC, CBS, or none of that. I tell you what, listen, but it made news in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Made news in heaven when she got in this morning. Praise God. I like that. But you being redeemed is already known in heaven. God wants it known on earth. God wants it known on earth what He's done for you. God wants it known on earth what He means to you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I like that. Now God's not going to say so for you. God's wanting you to do it. He's depending on you to be responsible to do it yourself. And by the way, it's not hard to get somebody to say so about what they're excited about. Get somebody excited about something, you won't keep their mouth shut. They'll yak about what they're excited about. Amen. Silent Christianity is a sign of people that are not excited.
Amen.
You've been in some good meetings. We have a few around here, amen. Getting a good meeting, everybody wants to testify. Getting a good meeting, God a moving, people excited. Praise God. Guess what? Everybody wants to get in on it.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because you're talking about what you're excited about. Amen. I like that, Miss Sarah. Amen. We need to say so. We need to say so. God has told us to do so. All right, then thirdly tonight, I want to close with this and deal with the escape. There's an escape mentioned in this verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How do we know who they are? How do we know who the redeemed of the Lord is? They've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Amen.
God says, I'm going to choose my description of how to identify the redeemed. And that is, they're no longer in the hand of the enemy.
Amen.
I like that. Thanks. Glory to God. Amen. Psalms 136 and verse 24. The Bible said, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Now the word from, I just want to point out a few things here, where it says, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That word from means a removal and a separation. When God redeems a person, He removes them from that lifestyle. Or that previous lifestyle. When He redeems a person, my friend, He puts severance between you and the enemy, your old master. Amen. What have we been redeemed from? His hand. The word hand in Scripture, you study it out in Scripture, the word hand speaks of authority. It also speaks of control. It speaks of strength and power. And it also is an instrument of work. When you talk about a hand in the Bible, you're talking about works. So when we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, we've been redeemed from His authority. He has no more authority in my life. He has no more authority to tell me what to do or what not to do. He has no more control. He has no more strength. And He has no more power in my life. His works are over. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I like that, don't you? That's a blessing, amen. And of course, it's seen in this verse, the only way to get out of that hand, the only way to get away from that hand, my friend, is to be redeemed. That's the only hope. Thank God for the message of that. That is the only hope for anybody to be redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You can't get out of the hand of the enemy from a religious standpoint. You can't get out of the hand of the enemy through reformation. You have to do so by redemption.
Amen.
And redemption is all a work of God. Amen? You can only do that. Here, listen to this. I thought about this afternoon. Many are not bothered about being in the hand of the enemy because they don't view him as an enemy. Did you get that? A lot of people are not really in a big hurry about getting saved. They don't mind, brother and sister, to stay in that life of sin because they don't view their enemy or their owner, their controller, as an enemy. But He is in fact your enemy. He first of all is God's enemy. If you're here tonight and you're lost, the one that's in charge of your life, the one that's exercising authority and strength and power and control in your life and is working in your life is God's enemy. Everything God's for, the enemy's against. Everything God wants to do for you, the devil wants to stop it.
Amen.
He don't want you to go to heaven. He don't want you to go to heaven. He don't want you to get saved. He wants you to keep putting it off. He wants you to procrastinate and just delay and put salvation off way out into the future somewhere. Well, what are you going to do if you don't live there? I mean, if you don't live to that point. What if you die beforehand? And that next breath that's in your body that you're fixing to take, that inhale, guess what? You're not in charge of that. That air came from somewhere else. It's not in you. You had to take it in. Why? Because you don't have no control over it. God loaned you that air. God gave you that air. Amen. God, listen, God is not your enemy. A lot of people treat God as if He's the enemy. He's not your enemy. A lot of people reject Christ because they think it'll ruin them if they get saved. They'll, you know, God will be an enemy to me and I'll have no more fun and it'll be awful. Now you probably could get that summary by looking at some church folk. But I don't want to be one of them. I want people to know that being saved is wonderful. Being saved is glorious. Amen. You better view him as an enemy. Anybody that will tell you not to be saved is your enemy. Anybody that tell you not to go to church is your enemy. Anybody that tell you not to read your Bible and live for God and all of that, that's not your enemy. I mean, listen, they're your enemy. They're your enemy. Amen. A lot of people don't view the enemy to be your enemy. Amen. And you could use those four pictures that we talked about this morning. The one that is a sojourner there in verse 4 through 9. The prisoner in verse 10 through 16. The one sick on a deathbed, verse 17 through 22. And verse 23 through 32, the sailor out there on the deep at wit's end. Looked like you're going under. You could see the enemy's working all of that. You could see the enemy's working all of that. Are you saved tonight? I mean, really, is it an experience of yours personally? Amen? If not, you need to be saved. And you need to be saved tonight. Not tomorrow, not next week. You need to get in tonight. Tonight's your night. Tonight is your night. Amen? I was telling this to Miss Amy this morning, and Miss Amy told me this morning, she said, Lord's been dealing with me for a few weeks now, but said it all just come on this morning. You know what? It's time. Today is the day of salvation. God drew her. God spoke to her. God drew her. Today was it. It was evident. Amen. You don't have to read somebody 45 verses of Scripture when they're ready. When they've been kind of smoldering under the convicting work of the Holy Spirit for weeks, I'll tell you, it don't take... Listen, you go up like an apple tree and if they're ripe, you just barely shake the bush and they'll fall off. Amen. She was ready when she came this morning. And I like it. But I want to just try my best, and that's what I do a lot in my preaching. I try my best to make the devil look as bad as I can. I try my best to make sin look as bad as I can. Now, some people don't like that. They don't like it. They're upset. They don't want that kind of preaching. They want a preacher that'll make sin look good. Amen. That's why they want to go. They'll go to a liberal church. Why? So they can live loose. I can tell about what you are as a Christian, but what kind of preaching you need or want. Not what you need, but what you want. Amen. If you want it sugar-coated and don't want nothing ever negative, it's because you're living in sin. That's right. Bottom line. If you don't want it preached, then you must be practicing it. That's the truth. I've been in this thing long enough. That's a fact. That is a Bible fact. I'm not being a smart-aleck about that. That's the truth. Amen. People that want straight preaching, Bible preaching with the right attitude is people that's interested in righteousness, interested in pleasing God, interested in the will of God for their life. So, I'm guilty. Just go ahead and tell everybody, Preacher Rackley is guilty of making the devil look like the enemy. Because he is, in fact, the enemy. He's the enemy of your home. He's the enemy of your marriage. He's the enemy of you young girls and boys living clean and pure lives. He's against it. He don't want it. He's an enemy to it. Amen. He's an enemy. He don't want you to be pure and clean and holy. He don't want that. He wants you to be rebellious. He wants you to, listen, and I still believe I'm old-fashioned. Go ahead and tell everybody Preacher Rackley's guilty of another thing. I believe it's old-fashioned living. Amen. Old-fashioned way. Amen. That's right. Amen. I believe it's the will of God for girls and boys when they go to the marriage altar to be virgins. To be pure. To be clean and be holy. I was talking to a preacher the other day and we were talking about marriage counseling and all that stuff. And he told me, he said, Preacher, I don't never use the word sex. He said, I don't never mention it in the pulpit. I don't never mention it. And I don't never mention it. He said, Preacher, I believe it's a dirty word. I said, but you'll let your people get their instructions about that subject from TV. I told him, I said, it's in the Bible and I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
Fornication is sin. Adultery is sin. It's wicked. Amen.
Amen.
Outside the bonds of marriage, it's sin. It's ungodly. It's wicked.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach it to your young people. I want them to be pure. Amen. If a boy, these girls, I tell them all the time, if a boy even thinks about touching you, you've got my permission to slap his eyeballs out. Amen. That's right. Come on, Daddy, Mama. You ought to say amen right there.
Amen.
That's right. A boy try to kiss you, you ought to cross his eyes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. He puckers, flatten them on out. Put them out on the side of his face. That's right. That's right. Amen. You can't take fire in your bosom without being burnt. You can't fool around with the flesh without it getting rising up and being a giant in your life. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I know you don't get that down the street, but that's where it's coming from here. Amen. I'm interested in showing that the devil is the enemy of your purity. He wants you to be defiled. He wants you to, listen, he wants you to be an immoral person. Amen. You don't have to try everything. You don't have to do everything.
Amen.
Amen. I wish somebody would preach that to me. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And I do so because I love you. I'm not trying to be a gun-slinging preacher. I'm not trying to get a big reputation that preacher acts like some big bad to the bone boy. I'm not interested in that. But I do want to be a preacher of righteousness, as was Noah. I want to preach against the sins of our day. I won't let our young people know that what they're seeing on television and hearing on in the music channels, that it's not righteousness, it's wickedness, and I'm preaching against it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Well, glory. I didn't mean to get on all that, but it felt pretty good. Amen. I don't blush to preach on sin. Every preacher, Brother Brian, in days gone by that were preachers, noted preachers like Billy Sunday and some of those, they preached against the sins of their day. I can't say it exactly. Somebody sent me a little email that's got Billy Sunday preaching on it. Shows him a preaching on it. And his main thing he preached on was alcohol. Bootlegging and booze and all that. I mean, he preached on it about every time he got up to preach. And there was multitudes saved on it. They said about, what was it, 1 million souls got saved supposedly under his ministry. And you know what? I can't say it exactly the way he said it, Brother Mark. I'm sure if he ever heard it, he can remember it. But it was something along the lines that he said, as long as I've got, how is that, Brother Mark? As long as I've got a mouth or a fist, I'm going to hit it, and a foot, I'm going to kick it. And as long as I've got teeth, I'm going to bite it. And something along those lines. And a head, yeah. As long as I've got a head, I'm going to butt it. And he said, when I don't have teeth to bite it, and a hand to hit it, and a foot to kick it. And how else does it go, Brother Mark? Yeah. He said, I'll gum it till I go to glory. Basically what he said was, I'm going to preach against it as long as I've got breath.
Amen. Thank
you. You can find preachers everywhere. They're dime a dozen. But how many of them you ever hear preaching on sin? I don't enjoy it, but we're living in the most wicked day that we've ever lived. And where is the cry of the John the Baptist that was preaching against the sin of their day? Where is it? Jesus dealt with sin when he was here. John the Baptist dealt with sin. Paul dealt with sin. Every preacher that's been anything has been one that dealt with sin.
Amen.
Why? They know who the enemy is. Redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're in the hand of the enemy. He's got authority in your life. He's got plans for your life. He's got control of your life. He's got power in your life. But if you're saved tonight, I want you to know this truth. If you are saved tonight, you have been redeemed from it. And you have the rights to tell Him when He's bothering you and tempting you. You can tell Him and resist Him. Amen. You have that authority. He has no more authority in your life. You can tell Him so.
Amen.
Hey, I don't belong to you no more. Try that on Him. Hey, I used to belong to you. I used to serve you. You used to have authority in my life. You used to have control in my life. You was the one that ruined me, about destroyed me. And I want you to know, January 20th, I got redeemed from your hand. You have no authority in my life no more. I'm not yours. You are not mine. You're not my master. I'm not your servant. The Bible said in Romans 6, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Tell him when he comes around, say, look, when he tells you to do something, tell him, say, look, I ain't got time. My new master's got a full schedule for me. I don't have time. I don't have time to do what you want me to do. My new master, the one that really loves me, the one that really cares about me, I've got a full schedule 24/7. I'm a Christian. I'm living for Him. He's not my enemy. He's not my enemy. He's for me. Well, amen. I like it, don't you? Escape. There's an escape. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I said earlier, at the beginning of the service, the only way for you to get out of that hand, of course, is through redemption. You can't do it any other way. You can't get out any other way. And the only way for the devil to have lost his grip on you is that he had to come in contact with somebody greater than him. You ought to read it when you get home. Luke chapter number 11 talks about the strong man and the stronger than he. I remember preaching that one time on the stronger than he. Boy, that man was being held in bondage by the strong man of the house. Talking about a man that was actually demon-possessed. And there was a strong man and controlling him and was dominating his life. And it was like that until the stronger than he showed up.
Amen.
And overcame him. And took from him the possessions. Jesus is the stronger than he.
Amen.
The devil is strong. We have to give him credit. He is strong. But I know one that's stronger. And when I met Him 27 years ago, He set me free from the law of sin and death. He set me free from the grip and the control of my old master that I thought was my friend, I thought was for me, but in reality, he was my enemy. And the devil is your enemy. Are you listening? Miss Amy's talking about today. You know, I don't know why I waited this long, or something like that, I believe she said. I don't know why I waited this long. I don't know why I waited till this long. I know why. Same reason I waited till I was 20. Brother Ivan, same reason you waited to whatever age you were when you got saved. We all was being controlled by another. We was being controlled by another. And if it had not Jesus come into my situation, I would have stayed in that control. I would have stayed underneath that old master. And I would have lived my entire life for sin and for Him, fighting against God. But happy day, happy day. Thank God, January 20th, for me, 1981, the stronger than He stepped into my life. And listen, He didn't just come in and take the devil's fingers and pry them off of me. He first come to me and appealed to my will, put me under conviction, showed me that I was a sinner, showed me that I was lost without God, and showed me where I was going, and offered me the gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift. He appealed to my will. And Brother Matt, when I responded, I was on about the 4th, 5th pew back. And when I responded to His call, guess what? The old enemy had to let go. Because the only attachment he had to me was my will. And when my will turned positive toward God, when my will says, Jesus, I want You. When my will said, I'm sick of sin, I'm going with God, I hate darkness and I'm wanting to get in the light, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. When my will turned positive toward God, which took place by the work of the Holy Ghost, guess what the old master, the old enemy had to do? He had to turn loose. You know why? Because he can't touch it. Because I'm redeemed. He can't touch me because I'm redeemed by the blood. And the devil don't want nothing to do with the blood. He don't want to touch the blood. He don't want to have nothing to do with it. Amen. He can't stand it. Amen. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed, thank God, by the work of Christ on the cross. The devil hates me, and I hate him.
Amen.
I want to do all I can to damage his efforts. I want to do all I can to damage his work. Amen. And I'm going to expose him all I can. Amen. And I hope you're for it.
Amen.
Or tolerate it. Because that's the way it's going to be. If there's ever a day that preaching needs to be straight and from the Bible and spiritual and anointed and powerful, it is in our day in which we live.
Amen.
I talked to a preacher today on the phone. And he told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've got a man in his 80s. He said he's been coming to our church for over a year. And we've got one too. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "God ain't dealt with him a time that I know of." Said he's not saved. Said, "We got another lady, I forgot what he said her age was, said she'd been coming quite a while too, not saved." Do you know what he went on to say? He said, "We got people in our church mad at each other." He said, "We got ladies in there crossed up with each other." He said, "We got people that ain't right with each other. And there sits them people that's going to die and go to hell unless those people get right with God." Are you listening? I told Mr. Otto this morning. Listen, I wish I had me a little recorder to record things he says to me after I preach every Sunday. Last Sunday, this morning, he's not even saved. And if I nail it tight, it don't bother him. He told me this morning, he said, "Preacher, you can't..." He don't call me preacher, he calls me brother. Brother. You know how he does. He called everybody brother. He said, you don't get this anywhere else. He said, "The service this morning was beautiful." That was his words. I said, "Mr. Otto, I'm praying that you get saved. What that young lady went down and got this morning, you need. Okay, yeah, pray for me, you know." But he don't know. It's going to take the power of God to get him. And God can get him.
Amen.
We need to make sure we're not grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It don't take much. Let's make sure we're right with God. And what ought to really, really motivate you to want to be right with God is two things. Your love for Jesus and your hatred of the devil.
Amen.
That ought to drive you and motivate you to want to be right with God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Our church ought to be a voice for God. Are you listening? God help us. There's no telling what God's going to do in the near future through this church. I believe that. Amen? I believe that. Through the CD ministry that we're fixing to launch on a big scale, there ain't no telling what will happen right there. No telling what's going to happen right there with that. Amen? Help us pray about it. Help us pray about what God's wanting us to do. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's bow for a word of prayer.